I'm Richard Dubin, and I thank you very much for joining us on our program, as today we're going to take a look at your fingerprints. We're going to take a look at what they say about you, your life's purpose, and my guest is the author of Life Prints, Deciphering your Life Purpose from Your Fingerprints. We'll be talking about this and other areas. So if you don't have your fingerprints handy, that's fine. We'll be discussing all of these aspects, the curves, the different aspects of fingerprints on the program.
Talk with me. Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
And on this program, that is what we make the attempt to understand where our various guests are coming from, what it is that they have to share in the way of their perspective on life and living that can help you to achieve more in your life, to go places that maybe you never really looked at before, but have always wanted to, or maybe you looked at them and that's all you've done. Well, today we're going to try to take this another step. Now, when we first started this radio program here in Santa Barbara, we talked about creating the roadmap, the journey along your way, along the way. And then, of course, we also spoke about this world in which we live and the reality and the lack of reality of this world. Well, let's stay in the reality of this world and let's talk with Richard Unger. Now, Richard is he is not only the founder and director of the International Institute of Hand Analysis. He began teaching hand analysis at I believe this is back in 1969, which is 10 years prior to when I got into broadcasting. And since then, he has presented his life purpose system in lectures, workshops, and radio, like this program, as well as television across the United States, Canada, and Europe. And Richard, I want to welcome you to our program. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks a lot, Richard. Glad to be here.
There are all kinds of folks out there who are using all kinds of methodology to try to help themselves and others to define their life's purpose, to try to figure out what that is for themselves. Back in 1969, or maybe prior to 69, when you brought this this modality, as I like to refer to these, to the forefront and to the public, what was it that intrigued you about the fingerprint and actually told you, you know what, I know what my purpose is, or your purpose, or my father's, or sister's, or brother's, or friend's, based upon the characteristics of the fingerprint? Give us a little history on that.
Well, I came to the fingerprints actually in 79. I've been reading hands for about 10 years already, and I started reading hands in college. And I just picked up a book. I got interested a little bit. I started to talk to people about the things that I saw. And I found that we were having very interesting conversations, much more interesting than I was used to. And it wasn't long before I was hooked on hands. Even though I couldn't figure out most of what was confronting me, I looked at people's hands. I had a few palmistry books from the library and bookstores out, and they were all confusing. But the conversations we were having about our life and what was important to us was so deep, I was really enjoying myself. So when I finished college, I was still reading hands as a hobby, and then inch by inch by inch, I was starting to put together some idea of what the hands reveal. But I knew there was a missing ingredient. People could have the same marker and behave completely differently. And just when I thought I would have decoded a certain marker, you know, five people in a row or whatever had this marker and they had a trait in common and behavior in common, just when I was getting confident with it, the next person would behave the exact opposite with the same marker. So it felt like I was putting together a jigsaw puzzle and a few of the pieces were missing or something. And I made a shift in my own life. I quit my job. I was a financial planner. I was doing well in financial planning, and I didn't not like that, but my hobby was getting bigger and bigger and more all-consuming, my hand-reading hobby, and I eventually quit my day job to do this full-time. That was back in 79. And then a few months later, I didn't have any clients. my salary wasn't coming in anymore from my old job, and I had a lot of free time. I finally went to the medical libraries where I had been wanting to go for years. I had read every palmistry book ever printed easily before 79, and most of them several times. And I would glean through those old palmistry books trying to get one little nugget. And I went to the medical libraries. I was living in Houston, Texas, have an enormous medical library there. And I felt like a kid in a candy store. There were thousands of articles by doctors on hands, mostly fingerprints, and psychology, and mostly diseases because they're doctors, but also retardation, twin studies, kids with different behaviors that would get them into a clinic and have their fingerprints studied, and thousands of pages there. And I spent a couple of weeks in the medical libraries, and it was there that I put together that what I considered to be the missing piece from my hand reading database. And as I understood how fingerprints formed and what they could possibly reveal, I was so excited, and I left the library and tried it out on myself, my family, close associates, etc., and verified my guesses from the information in the library. And that completely changed the way that I read hands, and that was late 1979.
Well, then, did you fall under the category from 69 to 79 in that 10-year period as a palm reader? I mean, under the classic definition of what most of us might think of as a palm reader, were you doing something a little different?
No, I was still doing something different during that period because I didn't do any fortune-telling. And since that time, I've met most of the major hand readers on the planet, or at least the ones who either have a book or are willing to communicate on the Internet or have schools. There's not that many of us, actually. And very few of them are fortune tellers. A few of them from the Eastern tradition do predictive hand reading. I don't, and most of the Western hand readers do not either. And so when people think of palmistry, they usually think of fortune telling, you know, tall, dark stranger going on a long journey, how many children you'll have. And again, I haven't met any hand readers to do anything like that. So each of the hand readers I've met have developed their own individualistic style of more character analysis, and I call it character analysis and coaching. And that's approximately what I was doing between 69 and 79, but again, with an incomplete database.
Okay, and we're going to get into that, the characters and the characteristics of the fingerprint in a moment. Now, there are certain elements of the human body that are changeless. The DNA code within each human being, you can't really change that in that specific human being, I suppose, unless, of course, maybe, I don't know, radiation could do that if you're exposed to high levels. Your dental records, if you have the same teeth from, you know, your adulthood until your death, those don't change. And the other element is basically your fingerprints. This is what I understand, is that it's virtually impossible, although I believe maybe there are some ways, to change or eliminate your fingerprints. So the fingerprint is...
Pickles.
I'm sorry?
If you put your hands in pickle juice for long enough, my dad owned a deli. That's one way to get rid of your fingerprints. Just leave your hands in pickle juice for 20 years.
But is that permanent? Okay, but is that a permanent change, though?
No, you're not changing your fingerprints. You just can't see them anymore. That's all.
Okay.
And you can't change your fingerprints. You just cannot change your fingerprints. And otherwise, the FBI couldn't keep them on file and then come and get you if they found it on the murder weapon.
Right. Okay. So.
Excuse me.
No, go ahead.
What people usually don't know is that the lines on your hands are ever evolving. Those keep changing. So take a handprint, take a Xerox of your hand, and then look at it 3 months later or 6 months later and track it slowly, line by line by line, and see if there's new forks, new splits, or forks and splits that have disappeared that were there just a few months ago. The lines in your hands are an evolving map, a developmental map. The fingerprints are frozen from 5 months prior to birth. They do get bigger because you're bigger than you were when you were a fetus.
Sure.
But other than that, the pattern is exactly the same and stays the same until you die. And as a matter of fact, they've been able to extract the fingerprints from mummies' hands from over 2,000 years ago.
Now, do you incorporate the lines in the hand and the fingerprints in this type of, as it says in your book, deciphering for the purposes of deciphering an individual's life purpose.
Yes, the life purpose information specifically is in the fingerprints. That's where I have a coded map, if you will. It's kind of like looking at an acorn, and inside the acorn it says oak tree. You'd have to know how to read the code.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing special involved in reading that code. It's you know, I'm in Europe all the time training people, and there's little kids running around speaking German or French. I can't. I don't know that code, but they can. You don't have to be a genius to learn that code. The fingerprint code is very, very simple compared to learning a foreign language, that is. There are some steps involved. But anybody could read it. It's just like reading the newspaper if you know the code. The rest of your hand tells me more your developmental self.
Ah, okay. And for me, that would correspond to being able to read sound waves. When we first started getting into computers, as you and I were sharing before we started this morning, that in and of itself is a different language. As I'm sitting here, I'm recording this program, and if I go in to depth into this these sound waves as you and I are talking, I can pick out consonants, and I can pick out the letter S, and those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an amazing thing that I didn't even realize I was learning to do as I was doing this kind of thing. So you are going through this same process of learning the various shapes of the ridges within the fingerprint. Now, people view the fingerprint almost as important and something that they want to protect almost as much as their Social Security number, in that they don't want just anybody to have that, because I would venture that it is possible for another individual to, I don't know, I would create molds and all this kind of stuff to be able to fake your fingerprints or mimic them or these kinds of things. Needless to say, it is still something that people, you know, kind of, they don't want to leave their fingerprints all over the place.
Well, and especially coming up as more biometrics get used to open doors in the hospital, to get your computer started by putting your thumbprint on there, there is a legitimate concern,
mm-hmm.
A privacy concern. By the same token, the fact that your fingerprints can tell you the you that it's been in there all along, the you that you can be, and the you that you were programmed to be, the you at your best, that picture is in there before you're even born. That's worth a serious look-see.
Well, let's take a look into some of these areas before we continue forward. I'm going to, at the halfway point in our program, going to open up the phone lines if you would like to talk with Richard Unger about your fingerprints and if there are any unusual characteristics within your fingerprint that might shed some light. And I would guess, Richard, that with a cursory description of an individual's fingerprint, if they're able to make those things out, I would need to get out my microscope to be able to see mine, that you might be able to at least give them a cursory analysis, if you will, of that fingerprint and or what that might mean in the context of their overall fingerprints, and then, of course, the lines in the hand. And also want to give out the website. Again, we're talking about life prints, deciphering your life's purpose from your fingerprints, and you can go to handanalysis.net. That's handanalysis.net. And you can get further information not only about hand analysis, but also if you're interested in getting a copy of the book, Life Prints, you certainly can do so through that particular website. And you have been doing this, obviously, now for a good 20, 30, nearly 40 years, as it were. And you have researched this, and in the book, you show all kinds of characteristics and so forth. Let's start, let's say, at the beginning. An individual wants to have their fingerprint analyzed by you for the purposes of finding out what it is that they're supposed to be doing in life. What is their first step in that regard?
Well, first of all, they can do that from the book. I wrote the book specifically so that anybody can follow the steps in there and decode their own life purpose. And the first thing that a person would have to do is take a look at their 10 fingerprints and write down which of the four types of fingerprint they find on their right thumb, their right index, their right middle finger, and so on. And there's four basic types. They look different. One looks like a series of concentric circles. One looks like a flat line with a slight little bump in the middle. And then there's two other type of patterns. And the ones that are circular or spiral-ish are called whorls, and the ones that are flatliners with a slight bump in it are called arches. And 98% of the intermediate patterns would be loops, and they're kind of halfway in between. They don't quite circle around. And the first thing to find out is how many of each different type that you have. And according to a little formula in there in the book, it tells you, and I can say it over the airwaves here, if you have four or more of the whorl patterns, it means that you're in a service-based life purpose. If you have seven or more loop patterns, you're in one of the emotional developmental life purposes. If you have the tented arch, which is the rarest of the patterns, you're in a wisdom-based life purpose. And if you have those flatline patterns, two or more of those, it puts you in a life purpose where your big challenge in life is finding balance and inner peace. That's the first step. There are four more steps to figuring out your life purpose, and there will be specific arenas of operation that it is your job to bring out your wisdom or bring out your service expression. And those would be told by the specific fingerprints on the specific fingers. And the formula is just a little too complicated to try to tell over the radio. But it's not really that complicated. It's just six steps. It does take a little bit of time to read through them and decode it. But you read through it. The first set of prints you read through might take you an hour. And after you've done the steps, right in front of you, kind of like a photograph coming out of an emulsion, there it is. There's a paragraph that says what it is you came to do, what your obstacle points are, what your training program required is, and what it could look like for you to have the life that you've always actually wanted and were programmed for before you were even born.
Now, share with us again, what is the level of accuracy of this method?
I've done over 50,000 interpretations. My students have done another 100,000 or so of these. We find it just unerringly accurate, just completely accurate. The fingerprints, the fingerprint part of hand reading is the most accurate part and the most specific part of hand reading. There's very little wiggle room for interpretation. There is a little bit of wiggle room on some combination of fingerprints. The line formations and hand shapes, it's much more interpretive. There are each different formation has several different options, and different experienced hand readers would agree on some points and disagree on others on the line formations. The overall character analysis would be approximately the same, but there's plenty of room for experts to disagree. On the fingerprints, there's very little wiggle room.
Now, you started with the right hand. Are you still going to use both hands for the overall analysis, or just the right hand?
No, I need all 10 fingerprints.
All 10, okay.
Without all 10, in the dark, I cannot do it. And no one fingerprint by itself says anything. You need the other 9 with them. And in the palmistic literature, going all the way back, every attempt to decode fingerprints had said, if you see this print on this finger, it means this, and that print on that finger, it means that. And every hand reader I've met, and myself included, was very frustrated. We're very frustrated in trying to apply that because it didn't work. And so most hand readers just disregard fingerprints entirely because there's been no system put forward that is usable. And what I found in the medical libraries completed my puzzle picture on that. And you need all 10, and that was the missing piece. You need to see all 10 to know what any one of them means.
When you photocopy on a Xerox machine or even on a scanner on your printer, your hands face down, obviously, they are going to give you a fairly good, fairly defined view of your fingerprints, or do you need to use ink and paper? Is there a better method than others for getting a good, clear look?
Yeah, the fingerprints probably won't show in that method. What I need for fingerprints, I send out fingerprint kits all over the world to people who either call in or email in. And they take their fingerprints and either email them back to me or snail mail them back to me. That's always better on the fingerprints. From the hand shape alone, even if the lines were obscured, from the hand shape alone, I could figure out a lot about the person that left that hand shape. From the hands on the Lascaux Caves, 18,000-year-old hands, to the hands in cement, Marilyn Monroe's hands in front of Mann's Chinese Theater, I can still see what kind of person Marilyn was, the person who left that imprint in the cement. I cannot see the lines in her hands that way, and I cannot see her fingerprints, so I don't know her life purpose. Too bad. But as a matter of fact, that's one of my hobbies is archaeological hands, getting the fingerprints of Albert Einstein, the fingerprints of John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and comparing their life stories to the fingerprints that they had. I just find that fascinating.
How would you go about, I mean, you have to contact the archives of these particular individuals to see if they have them on record to start with, and then get their permission, or how do you go about that?
I got a lot of them from other people who went through a lot of trouble to get them, and some I've gotten on my own. Freedom of Information Act says that if the government has the fingerprints, they have to give them to you if the person's dead, except that in the last 7 years, our government has not cooperated with any requests regarding Freedom of Information Act. I just get run around and run around and run around and wind up at the same place I started. But one fellow who's been very good at getting fingerprints, Andres Washington, an ex-prison guard, actually, who had studied fingerprints as a hobby, we traded collections about 10 years ago, and I gave him my Albert Einstein fingerprints for John F. Kennedy's, etc., and we've been in touch since on the quest, on the hunt for famous fingerprints.
So with your book, Life Prints, you can go through, read the information in the front of the book that tells you about the various characteristics of the fingerprint, and as you have, of course, described the whorl or the spiral and so forth. And then throughout the book, it tells you, and again, you're looking at all 10 fingers here, how to put together the combinations of those characters that then gives you the life purpose, as you referred to, pardon me, in terms of service and what have you. And you say you've done over 50,000 people?
Yeah.
I'm curious, would you say then that you could actually do it maybe in the reverse if you were to take a look at some people who have gone in a particular direction, that you really wouldn't be able to say, oh, they have these particular characteristics in their fingerprint, because that may not necessarily be their life purpose?
Well, there's plenty of people not living their life purpose at all. Just because you have a certain set of fingerprints is no guarantee that you're going to live the life that's printed in your fingerprints. That's where your deepest meaning and fulfillment could be found. But it's still, to some degree at least, a free planet. You're free to do whatever you want. For instance, Martin Luther King's fingerprints are, in my jargon system, a mentor with a message. And the mentor is a person who exhibits an exceptional integrity of a certain type and eventually sets himself up as a role model in a certain field or a certain realm. And my nickname for these people are mentors. And his particular life purpose, Martin Luther King's, was mentor with a message for the masses. And if you look at his life, that's what he did. But by the same token, a person could have those fingerprints and not at all live that life purpose and always have something big missing from their life and not be able to put their finger on it. I've also looked at the handprints, including the fingerprints of Ted Bundy and Charles Manson and various people like that. They have a life purpose too. But they're living, or now deceased, if you will, in the inverse of their life purpose. Every set of fingerprints also reveals what your worst case scenario could be. And remember, the fingerprints are there before you're born. No matter what happens in your life, they stay the same. So it doesn't tell me how well you're doing living your life purpose. I need to look at the rest of your hand and talk to you to find out how well you're doing. And the people who I am reading for, they know their life. They don't know this map that I can see. And the two of us need to collaborate together so that the person can train themselves to spot the opportunities. Their life purpose is always available to them. My life purpose is always available to me, and yours is to you. But we have to be able to notice and to see it when it's knocking on our, well, I guess to hear it, I suppose, mm-hmm. as I mix my metaphors, too, as it knocks on our door every day. It's knocking on our door. And there's a lot of people I read for who are more or less kind of sort of doing their life purpose, I say, at the water cooler. You know, there a lot of people that come in to see me are therapists and counselors, and a lot of people that come in to see me are amateur therapists and counselors. These are the self-awareness junkies on the planet, and they're the ones who enjoy getting their hands read. And many of them are many of the unofficial psychiatrists. They take a coffee break, and five people sit down, and they're all getting group therapy from this guy because that's how it is in this person's world. And so they're doing their life purpose, except they're doing it on their coffee break. And then they go back to their job. And on their drive home, if it's carpooling, again, there it is. They're doing their therapist job, and they come home, and their Aunt Matilda's on the answering machine, and she needs help. And for maybe a quarter or so of the people I am reading for, they're already living their life purpose, but, you know, like an hour a week or something, instead of putting it at the center of what they do.
I often jokingly say about this program that for me, this is therapy. And so I get a free therapy session once an hour every week and have a lot of fun doing it, too, and sharing with people the information and sort of going public, if you will, with that information, which is the whole idea, to share these ideas and to give you, the listener, new ideas, new choices, and the knowledge to be able to use those choices to, if it is your goal to find out what your life purpose is, if you already know what it is, to live out your life purpose. And as we come to the halfway point in our program, I want to let our listeners know you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're talking with the author of Life Prints, Deciphering Your Life's Purpose from Your Fingerprints, and his name is Richard Unger. And we are here every Saturday from 11 to 12 noon, 11 a.m. to 12 noon here on KIST, and we certainly would welcome your phone calls to Richard if you'd like to give us a call. Our number here is 879-5478, 879-5478, or KIST, and you can certainly give us a call, and we will endeavor to answer whatever questions that you might have for Richard in regards to hand analysis, fingerprint analysis, and your life's purpose. And I want to let our listeners know that once you have determined, let's say through fingerprint analysis or hand analysis, I should say, what your life's purpose is, then you're going to want to tune in next week, because we're going to, our next guest next week is going to be talking about the concept of I can, I will. And he is a local author, and his name is Frederick Elias, and he will be in here talking about basically success and working and using your emotions in the right direction, getting through the barriers to live out your life purpose. But if you don't know what direction you're going, which is really the first goal, you need to find that out. And you certainly can do that through the book Life Prints. Again, the number here is 879-547-8879-KIST. I'm Richard Dugan with Richard Unger, and we're going to continue on talking about Life Prints, fingerprints, the lines in the hand. I'm wondering, Richard, if there are other, and again, I use the term at the front of the program, modalities. Certainly there are people who read the face. There are, as you do, you read the hands and the fingerprints, the lines and so forth. Are there other parts of the body, aside from those two elements, that people are using? I mean, what about the footprints and the lines in the feet? How does that play into this at all, if at all?
Well, I don't read feet. I'm a specialist. But I do know a few foot readers, and there's a fellow I met somewhat recently in France who developed a system for reading feet. And we met at a conference, and I was very interested to learn his story. And in a lot of ways, his story paralleled my own. I had to build my own system mostly just by experience, doing it every day and then inch by inch, gleaning a little piece, another little piece, until it finally kind of the crossword puzzle filled in. He spent about 20 years putting his system together as well. And some of my students have studied other modalities, and face reading is one of them. As a matter of fact, I met a fellow who had the International Institute for Personology, which is face reading, and when we met, our business cards looked very similar to each other, and we studied with each other to some degree. And the thing about the other modalities that I've studied, none of them have been as specific about life purpose information. There are things that my face reader friends can do, handwriting friends as well, that I cannot do by looking at people's hands, but they can't pinpoint a person's life purpose. I'd like to, if I have a moment, Richard, I'd like to say a little bit more about what life purpose is and what it isn't.
All right, and I'm going to ask you to hold that, because I want to make sure people have your web address, which is handanalysis.net. That's handanalysis.net, where you can certainly get additional information. And then I'm going to go ahead and let you now tell us a little bit about this whole process of finding out what is life purpose.
Yeah, the when I talk to people about their life purpose, some people say I don't have a clue, which is fine, and you know I'm glad to help them. Other people tell me that they know their life purpose already, and then they tell me, and I look at their hands, and I completely agree. Some people do know their life purpose; they've been living their life purpose clearly and consciously from 5 years old. And how come? I don't know how come, but they have been. But a lot of other people, I ask them about their life purpose; they say they know it. And I ask them what their understanding is, and they tell me things like, my life purpose is to live a good life and to be a good mother and father and to always have good friends and to, you know, learn something new every day and to shine my light wherever I go. None of these are what I have learned can be called a life purpose. Those are nice aphorisms to live by or something, but other people tell me that they know their life purpose, and then they read off their business goals or something.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that's not what they got born to do. That might be very fulfilling, but that's not their life purpose. The life purpose is much bigger than that. The life purpose is the person's connection to their soul, to their core, of the everyday natural unfolding of your core self. And it's not enough to say that your life purpose is to, you know, live your passions every day, to be connected to yourself. That's true for everybody. There's a specific formula that is unique to you, that is your particular life purpose, why you got born in the first place. And it's not a circumstance to arrange outside yourself. It's been inside of you your entire life, and it's your job to awaken to that part of you. And I was reading in New York a few months ago, and I was in a workshop with about 20 people. We were doing different exercises and reading hands. And there was a woman there who said she knows her life purpose. I said, cool. And when I got to look at her hands, she shared with the group that her life purpose, as she saw it, was to be an artist, and she had supported herself in New York City for 20 years with her art. No mean feat. And so that's cool. And I look at her hands, and her life purpose had nothing to do with her art. Clearly, her hand shape was the hand shape of an artist. The line formations were exactly the line formations that I would put on my hand if I wanted to be an artist. But that was her personality type. Her life purpose was woman of influence, and that is what she came to do. And it is her life's goal to be an artist person who can have influence. It is her job to be some sort of leader person to point the way, but to do it with her art. Her art is the means, not the purpose itself.
Mm.
And this, you know, she had a hard time getting her mind around that, because she'd always been an anarchist. I hate leaders. Look at them. They're all bad. And she went, and yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
That's the standard attitude of 80% of those who are in one of the leadership life purposes. And their hatred, their visceral disgust at misused leadership can be understood in a new light when you realize that they got born to be a positive point-the-way person. And when they see others claiming that role and abusing it for their own personal advantage, it makes their blood boil twice as hot as yours and mine, unless that is one of our life purposes. It's not mine, by the way.
Well, I find it interesting the way you've kind of described what life purpose is and isn't. But I go back to your analogy as you were beginning to put the pieces of the puzzle together to expand on what you've referred to as life purpose. We are all made of the same stuff, as are all of the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. However, each piece of the puzzle fits in a different place in a different way. Ergo, life purpose is you're fitting into the jigsaw puzzle of humanity and fulfilling that life purpose, whether it be through art or, in the case of this radio program, I'm not sure how to define what my life purpose is based upon my fingerprints because I haven't gone through that process yet. But at the same time, I'd like to believe that my life purpose is to help people to move forward with, as we say in the program, with new choices and new knowledge. To fulfill your life purpose, to move forward to achieving those things that you want that may be a part of your life purpose but may not necessarily be that, like becoming a millionaire or becoming a very successful national or international talk show host or whatever definition you want to put on it or term or label.
Well, you know, you could be in one of the public inspiration-oriented life purposes. My life purpose is a in-the-public-eye, inspire the masses. That's the family of life purposes that I am a part of, and that well could be yours. There is, by the way, a group of life purposes. I put them in families for the purpose of my classes, so we're going to study this family of life purposes today. And there is a tycoon life purpose. They're a big success in the world, life purpose. Very interesting. Some of them are here to do service, using that big success for a service outcome. Others are in wisdom lives, tycoon slash wisdom. Others are in emotional developmental lives. I was talking about the loop pattern before. And the interesting life question in their life always is the battle between family, relationship, and their business, because they must do their business. It's their life goal. But can a successful in the world tycoon also have love? And can a successful in the world person have compassion for themselves, no less somebody else? Very interesting questions. Most hands will have some sort of delicious dilemma, I like to call it, some dichotomy, some push and pull that makes the story juicy and interesting.
Well, as they say in the entertainment field, if the story doesn't have conflict, it ain't going to make it to the air. And so, in this case, if you don't have some level of that juiciness, that conflict, then maybe you're not, it's not quite in that category. I wanted to go back to the issue you had mentioned about providing these fingerprint kits. If, I mean, certainly we could probably contact you through your website, handanalysis.net, and certainly get one. But let's say after the radio program, I want to go out, I'd like to fingerprint my hand so that I could begin this process. What are some of the best materials to utilize?
Well, you can just look at your fingerprints, and standing outside, if the sun is shining down in Santa Barbara today, you'd have a good shot of seeing it, or using a small magnifying glass, and then go fingerprint by fingerprint, compare what you see to what the book shows you as the pictures of different types, and then fill it in a 10-box chart until you've got all 10 of your fingerprints looked at. You can also put lipstick over your fingerprint, and then you have to roll your thumb, roll your index finger like you've seen them do on TV when they take somebody's fingerprints.
The crime shows.
And, yeah, so that you can see the entirety from left to right, and that'll work. Or you can use a number 2 pencil, put it over your fingerprint, you know, just mush it over your fingerprint until your fingertip is all grayish, dark gray, and then put that onto some paper, and your fingerprints will be visible. You can go down to the police station and ask them to take your fingerprints for you, and they probably will.
And then you have my file.
People send me their fingerprints from the XYZ police department, and I'm assuming that's what they did. I'm assuming that it wasn't because they were a criminal.
This is true, which then, of course, you're going to go through the process of analyzing those fingerprints and going, Now, no one's life purpose is to be a criminal or to be a Ted Bundy. I mean, you referred to the aspect that they were actually living, what, the reverse of their life purpose?
Yes. Charles Manson's fingerprints are actually very similar to Dwight Eisenhower's, interesting to consider. Both of them had famous leader in their fingerprints, and they each became famous leaders, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Bundy's fingerprints are passionate individualist. Another name I have for that life purpose is the passionate artist life purpose. And those people need to be extremely doing their passions, what they really want to be doing, nothing out of obligation or duty whatsoever. But I can't quite say that Ted Bundy fulfilled that in the positive sense of the word. Every set of fingerprints includes a life lesson. And if the life lesson is not contended with, the life purpose comes out either sideways or not at all. And Ted Bundy's life purpose was the proper use of power. And that's very interesting because it parallels things in my own set of fingerprints. And here I am, you know, the director of the International Institute of Hand Analysis, and I get challenged to use my power in the most positive possible way on a regular basis. Ted Bundy, apparently, did not use his power in a positive way, and his passionate individuals came out in a warped fashion. But I can tell you that looking at his hands, the rest of his handprints, unless I knew that this was Ted Bundy, I would have been talking to that person about how come they're not fulfilling their creativity. They've got all these creative marks, and all these markers in their hands look like something. It looks like a bicycle that has all the parts ready to be put together and used, but they were never put together. All the ingredients necessary for creative fulfillment are just sitting there. But like the pipes on the side of a road before they're going to pave a road and they put the pipe down first. All the pieces are just sitting there, but they're not screwed in right.
Interesting. Well, I want to delve into the 50,000 people or so that you have done this for. You've processed their fingerprints and given them the information regarding their life purpose. And obviously, we're not going to talk about all 50,000, but examples thereof. Let's talk about the skeptics in the crowd who, yes, I realize that I have these fingerprints and so forth, and it sounds to me like your concept of hand analysis is a fairly logical process, which most people, that's where they are. It's got to be, you know, you got to prove it to me, you know. It's almost scientifically. But it's not 100% logical unless you go ahead and accept the aspect that the characteristics within the fingerprint are indeed associated with those personality traits. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
So let's address that question of the skeptic. How do you approach an individual who is willing to let you process their fingerprints and give them that kind of determination, but they're not... You know, it's like I'm here to do this, but I'm doing it grudgingly because I really don't believe in this kind of stuff.
Well, the times that happens, more often than not for me, is because their friend or their spouse got their fingerprints analyzed, and they listened to the tape of that session, and, you know, there it was, exactly the person that they know, and they could see what I was saying about them, but they still don't really believe it completely, but it was so intriguing. So they come in, and they come in with their arms folded, and they sit down, and, you know, I have to use my crowbar a little to get them to open up their hands to take a look. And to me, this is entirely normal. I mean, and I tell them to be double skeptical. Don't just be single skeptical. I mean, I'm going to tell you your life purpose. It could challenge you. The whole way that you've structured your whole life could be subject to challenge today. And I'm not going to believe somebody telling me that stuff. Even if I like it or if I don't like it, I'm not going to believe it just because somebody says so. And I agree with that position. I don't want to shift that at all. So what I tell them is, you know, I'll tell you everything I can in the time available, but then it's your job to go out and verify or unverify it by what you observe in your life, you know, tomorrow, the next day, and this whole next week. And as you start to look at your life through this map that I'm presenting to you, see what you notice. See if the chord strikes true. Mm. From my experience, the chord strikes true. And you can call me up afterwards and complain if you like. But usually what happens, if the person's having difficulty spotting their life purpose after it's been described, it's not so much difficulty spotting it. It's more like, oh, darn, but I've set it up all this other way. You know, I thought of doing that when I was in high school and stuff, but kids, money, the in-law, you know, blah, blah, blah. I need the health insurance. What am I going to do about that? I do see that part of me, but, and people have their butt list.
Mm-hmm.
And I honor their butt list. Of course they have a butt list. Of course you have a butt list, and, you know, you've been living your life a certain way. What happens is, if a person tries to switch everything instantly, it's like somebody weighing 300 pounds trying to run a marathon. It's just going to not work, and they're going to go back to where they were and gain 20 more pounds worrying about it.
Exactly.
You need to take a little tiny step from where you are. You need to allow that part of you to expand another percent in your life. And it's like I tell people, if I were reading Beethoven's hand and he was a bus driver or something, of course a whistling bus driver, he doesn't realize how much music comes out of him. You know, he just needs to hang out with musicians. He just needs to be in music world.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to figure out the whole thing. He's designed to compose music. If he hangs out where music is happening, within 6 months he's found his instrument, he's found a way to have fun with music, and within 2 years, he's Beethoven.
Yeah. Well, you know, you bring a couple of things to mind. I was somebody was sharing with me some insights about myself from their perspective, and I sat there, well, yeah, but this and yeah, but that. And he says, wait a minute, do you know what a yeah, but is? I said, no, it's a cute little fuzzy creature with long fuzzy ears and a big puffy tail. And I'm going, huh? And I didn't get it at first. It took me 20 or 30 minutes to understand what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where once that information is given to you, it's in there. I've used the computer analogy where when you delete something from your computer and then you delete it from the recycle bin, it is not gone from the hard drive. You just can't see it anymore because the table of contents has been rewritten.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still there. Now, there comes a point where overwrite and overwrite, you probably won't be able to see it. But initially, it is physically, it is still there. Well, that's why I love these programs, because once we've shared the information with you, once it has gone into your ears, it can never come out. Now, whether you do anything with it today, that's a whole other thing. But it will come up one day. That's right. And so I'm hoping that folks will at least take a listen and take a look at the various things that we bring to the table here on Tell Me Your Story, and consider them. I'm not asking you to believe them, to accept Richard Unger and what he's saying. Check it out. He's saying be a double skeptic, you know. Do him one better, be a triple skeptic, if that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But at least check it out. I mean, what have you got to lose? I mean, quite honestly, the only thing that you have to lose, if you will, or the one thing you have to gain, is getting on track with what your life's purpose is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Richard, let's define that once again and say it is not the tasks that you do that are your life purpose, correct?
No. For some people, for Beethoven, he does have a specific activity-based life purpose. He needs to find music.
Okay.
And there is about a quarter or so of the hands I look at where there is a particular type of career activity that if the person is not in that activity, they're just off. And those people I call penguins. And if they are in the Sahara, they're miserable. The Sahara is never going to be suitable to them. Mm-hmm. They need to find their iceberg. They need to find cold water to swim in. They're designed for a specified environment. All their adaptations are for that one environment. But for many other people, it's something very different, and it's not always what they're expecting. Just like that artist person in New York that I was telling you about, the last thing in the world she would have thought of was leadership, and yet that's where her meaning point was. And, you know, up until recently, people never even talked about life purpose until Oprah did a show on it about 4 years ago. I considered it the last taboo. You can talk about anything, but life purpose, you know, it was either there isn't one according to scientists, we're all just a bunch of molecules and nothing matters. And, you know, that's nice to say, but hardly anybody actually believes that when you ask them in private. And also, that life purpose has been the province of religion. I'm here to be a good Zoroastrian or a good whatever your religion is. That's religion.
Yeah.
And if you're here to be a good Zoroastrian, just like the 800 million other Zoroastrians, that's a mass-produced life purpose. That's not specific to you, and you can't use it as a daily roadmap. Your life purpose is specific. It pertains to you in particular. It's relevant now. It's relevant 10 years ago. It's relevant 10 years from now. And you can use it as a compass to meaning and fulfillment.
One of the things that intrigues me about these programs and the various people that I have on, including yourself, Richard, is that you are not directing people towards you or your website or your findings or some teaching program, some seminar series, and so on and so forth. You're actually directing them right back at themselves.
Yeah. The power of the fingerprints only becomes available when the person can actually spot their life purpose in its disguises, its daily disguises. And only then does it really have meaning. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of words that fly right on by.
And a lot of people, that's part of where their skepticism comes in. It's like, oh, what are you trying to sell me now? What are you, you know, I mean, what long-term obligation am I going to get into? Well, guess what? The only long-term obligation you're getting into is your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to get into that long-term obligation, I don't know why you're here. How'd you get into the gates, to this, as some people like call it, an amusement park, which they say is one of the reasons why we're here, is to sort of amuse ourselves. And some belief systems say that we keep coming back for that very reason, because this place intrigues us to no end.
Well, Viktor Frankl says that the ultimate human motivation is the search for meaning. And I absolutely believe that. And up until kind of recently, at least in our culture, not in other cultures, we haven't really talked about that. And in other cultures and other times, what does it all mean has been of primary importance. But not here, and not recently. And I hope that I'm putting a dent in that, and I'm figuring that you're putting a dent in that, too.
Well, we're trying. We really are. And I believe, too, that life does have meaning. As I've shared with people in the past, if this were all an accident, then it wouldn't make any difference what I did. I could go out, rape, pillage, and plunder, and it's irrelevant because, well, this is all an accident. And yet, if that were the case, then why am I doing what I'm doing? I just have this strong desire to have a life of meaning, to make a difference, large or small.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's helping the little old lady across the street out in the middle of Buellton, California, a small town west of Santa Barbara, or being heard nationwide or worldwide on the World Wide Web with a program that gives you the choices and the knowledge to move forward in your life, to fulfill your life purpose, and maybe even to find those tasks that are congruent with your life's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Before we wrap up our program here, I want to again remind you, you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're talking with the author of Life Prints, Richard Unger, and he is available through his website, which is handanalysis.net, handanalysis.net. But you can also get there through my website, richarddugan.com. You'll also find a schedule of the guests that we're going to have on coming weeks. And there is, as I said, a link to Richard Unger's website on the website, richarddugan.com. And you'll also be able to hear this program within the next 12 to 24 hours on the website. It'll be available for you to listen to if you've missed any part of it or want to share it with someone else and maybe understand a little bit. And that's, Richard, that's why we have folks like you on the program. People can pick up the book anywhere, and they can read it, and they get the information. I'd like them to get to know the author a little bit, the person who put this information together, where they're coming from and what they're about, and in your case, who are fulfilling their purpose in the process. And I do want to thank you for joining our program. where can we go from here as far as, I mean, is it just, okay, I found out my life purpose, and now I just go out and do it?
Well, it's not that you so much do it. You live it every day, and by living your purpose every day, it expands even more, and the opportunities for meaning and fulfillment get ever further. There is no end to it. It's not a place that you get to, and then you're there. I mean, if you were Picasso and you had an artist's life purpose, you were already doing art by the time you're 8 years old. But it's now your whole life's goal to continually access the next layer of artistry available to you, and that means each day there's another blank canvas, and it's your job to reach deep inside and fill it. So it's not a place that you arrive and then you're done. It is a constant work in progress.
Well, as are these programs, it always saddens me in one sense that I look at the clock and I'm going, okay, we're down to the last couple of minutes here, and this hour is about gone, and I wish we had another hour to talk about some of these subjects, or again, open up the phone lines to let people ask you questions. It seems to me, though, that with this type of subject, the fingerprints for determining your life's purpose, that it's something that individuals need to do and process for themselves. It's not like, okay, well, let me describe to you, Richard Unger, what I'm seeing, because they haven't seen the characters from the book. I mean, the description you have given here on the program is adequate in one sense, but at the same time, they really need to see those examples.
Yeah, and there's a six-step process to go through, yeah. And it will take them a little bit of time. And, you know, there was a guy who looked at my book the other day, and he looked at it and says, oh, my God, I'm going to have to do something to find out my life purpose. I said, yes. Yes, you'll have to do something. And he said, but I have to do something? I said, yes. And, well, you know, and I asked him, so do you know your life purpose? He says, no. I said, well, how long have you been searching for it? He says, well, it's the most important thing. I'm a coach, and I help people, but I don't know what really what I'm doing, and I want to find my own purpose at a deeper level. You know, and so I'm talking to him about how he helps other people. Yes, there's a little bit of work involved. There's some effort. And decoding and deciphering your fingerprints and finding out what your life purpose is the easy part. The next step is to come to terms with what you read about yourself and then see what you can do on a daily basis to manifest it. That's
exactly
where the real work is.
Well, Richard, I want to thank you. Stay on the line at the end of the program. I'll chat with you just a few moments more. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you for joining us. And be sure to go to richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. You'll find all the information and the link to Richard Unger's website, handanalysis.net. I'm Richard Dugan. Join me next week with Frederick Elias.